I'm logged in and ready to rip.
Hell yeah.
Welcome back.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
You were gone too.
I did. I left. It was a short one, but it was a good one. It was like a Monday afternoon through Wednesday morning. So
Long
quick.
Beach.
Yeah.
Steelhead.
Long Beach, Steelhead homies. A little
you guys
bit
are cool,
of
cool, huh?
Yeah, it was rad. I had a fun time. And we did a little bit of time at a nice pizzeria in Costa Mesa.
Pizzeria Delgado.
They got a vibe out there in Costa Mesa.
I like Costa Mesa.
Me too.
I would live there.
They put a lot of money and time into the places that are there for sure. But there's also some quality stuff.
Like the businesses or just
the
town?
Yeah, it's like these, like, well, we'd call them outdoor malls, but, you know, like whatever. Their version of like a Santana Rilla doesn't feel too swanky, and it feels like it's mixed with a bunch of craft stuff and cool places to hang out, at least where I was. And then I had a great place called Folk Pizzeria or something, all this, you know, sourdough pizza, classic, you know, artisan, like pizzerias.
Neapolitan style, old school style.
We got
Italian
a bunch of
style.
Stuff. No, it's definitely like
modern pizza. It's,
yeah, you know, it'd be like whatever, leaning towards the Mentone, David Kinchi. Well, yeah, the modern pizza.
That's
it's Neapolitan style for sure, but just, you know, different ingredients, you know, cool stuff.
Lizard skin.
Yeah. But the Steelhead guys were great. I had a great time with all of them. So shout out to y'all if you're listening.
What'd you guys do?
We basically had coffee, like went to all the shops, hung out with everybody briefly. They were going to do more stuff after I left. I was there mostly to connect with the owner and leadership team. So we just did a lot of talking about structure and potential future plans. They have a good thing going on there.
How many people do they have on staff about?
That is a good question. Now, you know, I didn't ask that question specifically, but I would guess based on the visual, they could write it and correct me. I'm going to guess they have like 30 to 40.
They have two stores.
They have three spots.
Oh, three.
Yeah, so they have one. Long Beach is kind of oddly got this sprawl, but they have a container spot.
I've been to that one.
That's pretty badass. Yeah. Then they have their, I think it's their original joint. And again, because I'm getting like Ubered around and driving, I'm like kind of lost in this place. But there's one that's, I think the newest one is kind of towards downtown-ish area closer to the ocean. And that's where I stayed near.
Oh, cool.
If you can hear that, that's a laser.
It's just a car lift.
It's a car lift.
It's going to click pretty soon.
There it goes.
Oh, it didn't even click.
It was great though. I got to also visit Colossus Bread, which they're homies. This kid, he's not a kid, student Nick, who you would totally recognize his face. He's been in coffee for a long time. He used to be a tech judge. And he worked at, in fact, you and I went and visited PCP for a minute. He was working there when we went.
Okay. I've seen Colossus pop up, but I don't know
just good pastry
much about them.
It's Nick. I've never met his wife, but his wife's company, and then he roasts coffee for them. So he's Penny Coffee Roasters. And so the Steelhead guys were great.
I know exactly who that is.
Exactly. Yeah. It was awesome. We all hung out together for a little bit, had a good conversation. It was just rad, you know, mix of like, because Nick's been in it for so long and he knows a lot of what's going on. And then we just had this whole squad of people. We were just all getting after it together.
It's dope.
Talking strategy and life and coffee and perspective and guests and whatever.
What do you think you were able to help him most with?
Thinking about the future and how to delegate and structure a little bit. The whole team there is kind of set for, it's pretty classic, right? I mean, if you have three stores that are pretty far apart in a fairly large city, it can be really easy for them to kind of all be run like independently, but they're quote unquote the same company. So they could be run sort of the same, but not at all. You know, that's the through line is we're the same name. We serve like the same drinks and we have the same coffee, but the rest of it actually was, and they do a great job. So don't get me wrong when I'm saying this, but there was differences between them all. So that was a lot of alignment and how do you approach that and just the stuff that we do. So there was a lot of conversations around that. How do you, you know, how many leaders do you need? Do you want to put one in charge of everybody? Who's the through line? How much, you know, time and effort can you put into it? We were in that zone, dude. We got into it real quick and it was like, that was it. I was like, well, how can I help? Like, what kind of questions do you have for me? I think something else that came up was he goes behind the bar a lot and kind of just hangs out. because mm-hmm. and we got into talking about that. He's all, well, do you just come in and just like get behind the bar and hang out with people? And I'm like, no, it kind of gets in the way. Like, we have a structure, we got a flow. If I'm back here, it's kind of a distraction a lot of the time, unless I come specifically on to like play coffee and take the bar and do somebody's job for a little bit,
something super specific.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you know, a lot of the time if I'm the owner and I come in, my job is to kind of do my own work, but to be available to have conversations and talk to people and kind of point out anything that is more of a trend. It's not even necessarily to point out what's happening on the day every single time, unless it's something egregious like, yo, the bathrooms need a check. And that was, that felt helpful. You know, you can be an owner or a leader and pop in and drop the grenade on the people, but you also have to check yourself and recognize that you might be the person who's coming in and letting them know something they already know and that they're working on getting to, and maybe just have like their own flow going on, you know, something to that effect. So I was just sharing with him. I don't always get nitpicky unless I see something kind of consistent happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't always come in and be like this and this and this and this and this, because
well, you can nitpick yourself to death.
Well, yeah. And too, I also trust, you know, our team to be paying attention. And so, you know, you kind of got to play the trends and the averages, and that felt helpful as well.
Yeah,
in that, on the trip,
it's hard.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, to find that balance between how much you're directly giving input day to day versus, you know, leading and paying attention to the bigger picture was a lot of our conversation.
Sick.
Yeah, what do I do in the future?
That's tight.
Great time. Yeah, John does a great job of mentoring his team and helping his team and people branch out. He's got a couple, like Nick, who's now Penny, worked with Steelhead forever and now goes out and does his own thing. There's another guy who's working on their own cafe, and John's helping the guy out so he can do his own place as well.
That's right.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he's in the reserves as well, so he's still like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on his way to being done, but he still could be sent on one more tour. So there's been multiple times where he's been sent away for over a year.
Dang.
And it's like no contact.
That's gnarly.
His company runs independently.
Incredible.
And that's part of why it's like,
is
hey,
it raining outside? Sidebar?
There's supposed to be a little bit of rain.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Yeah.
Not a lot. That was one of the conversations, is if you don't have somebody to be the point of contact when you're not there and you were, and you really truly can be zero contact for over a year.
Yeah.
It'd make total sense that you have three cafes doing their best, but not necessarily doing it the same way.
They've been around for a while too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 8 years or something,
something
like that.
Like that.
7 years.
I went there at least three. I went there before the pandemic by a good margin. Mm-hmm. I flew into Long Beach with David, and we rented a Mustang GT just
like
for
you
fun.
Do, dude.
I got the V8 working.
Fuck yeah, you did.
We're just driving around. We went to the Container Store, pulled up.
I like that container. I mean,
it's cool feeling.
Why?
I like that little strip too.
Exactly.
It just feels nice.
How does that happen? I mean, I know how it happens, but at the same time, how does it happen? Like a literal container mall hangouty, like food courty thing, just somehow feels curated and good, and I get it and don't get it at the same time.
I think it's just someone has a bigger vision of, oh, this would be awesome. I mean, it's one part design, one part curation of tenants, and then another part just, you know, I think that the place where it is helps a lot too.
Sure.
Because those don't feel, there's something magical about Southern California, dude. The weather,
that's
just
true.
The whole vibe of everything feels a little bit lighter. It kind of reminds me of, like, you fly into Costa Rica and you get out of the plane and you're immediately somewhere tropical.
It's
kind of feels nice. You're just like, oh, dude, it feels
it's gold
nice.
Here. Literally that, golden sun.
That feeling is cool. And
that is an LA.
You don't really
feeling.
Get that here. You know, we have nice weather.
No, but it's crisper. The air is crisp.
It's crisper,
always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't have that low smog holding the heat in, dude.
thermal layer.
That thermal layer of smog.
We don't have that Under Armour.
Gosh, dude. Yeah, it was cool. But I do trip out on that. It's like they have some cool vendors in there, but it just feels nice. You put, you know, AstroTurf and tables with a bunch of containers that open up facing inward, and you just kind of feel like you're in this clean, insulated hangout spot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just like, come be here. Yeah, let's do it.
Something that feels pretty European about it too.
Maybe.
Where you're just kind of out at the market.
Yeah.
Seeing what's around.
Totally. I'm out.
I'm out. Hey,
I'm
guys.
Seeing things.
I'm going to hit the town.
Yeah,
I'm going to
totally
go
social.
Here, going to go there, going to go there.
And I don't have to walk very far.
Yeah, it's
I think
pretty
that's
sick,
part
dude.
Of it.
Yeah, I like it.
He took us to this, which was actually pretty badass. He's like, you have to go to this bar. It's been open since forever. And we went. It's called JoJo's. We went during the middle of the day.
JoJo's.
It's known for its roasted peanuts and pickled eggs and sandwiches, apparently.
Okay. Is it Irish or what? Yeah.
No, I mean, the guys who were working there were super friendly. I mean, this, you know, it's whatever. They have their beers on tap. It was full on like a Tuesday at, I don't know, 2 o'clock.
Just doing some day drinking.
But they weren't, it wasn't like people getting hammered either. It was like properly social. And they have an old school, like actual roaster for the peanuts in the back that they roast.
Oh, I'll show you a picture. Like you turn it with your hand kind of thing?
No, no, no. I'll show you. It's proper roaster. Like, it looks like a coffee roaster, but it's not. Like, it's pretty fucking cool. Boom.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Look at that belt.
Totally. Belt driven. Like, and the guy, one of the guys, like, is into coffee. So he was talking coffee roasting, and he got all pumped up to show us.
Oh, you could definitely throw some coffee in there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all, you don't really mess with the temperatures. You can do it, like, open it up for me, but you just drop in the I mean, for anybody who's just listening, it really does look pretty similar to a roaster. It's a drum, it's over a flame, it's small. This is a little tiny, you know, spot to feed the coffee, or whatever, not the coffee, the peanuts in, and a huge ass belt and a little chimney, and that's it.
That's dope. Yeah. I like that.
So that was pretty cool. They were talking social.
Little quirky things that make it magical.
Yeah. And the guys were, it looked like if you were to walk in, you would be like, oh, and you didn't know anything, you'd probably be like, oh, this is intimidating. And then you'd kind of be like, oh, this is hipster, but it was neither. Like, we walked in, he's like, you guys look like you use beer. And we were just like, cool. Yeah. We're here for a pickled thing. And here's all the beers on tap, and made us the beers, and then super nice and just normal. Got all psyched on talking coffee and food and whatever. Just that's people.
Dude, that's epic.
Yeah, felt good.
You're going to love this one.
Guaranteed, because all Seattle and La Marzocco, if that's what you're talking about.
I'll pivot for a sec. We went to dinner at that place, Canlis.
Yeah.
Super rad, but the peanut roaster reminded me of this. So the restaurant's beautiful. It's just glass walls. You look out onto the little bay or the port or whatever it is there. So it just feels really cool when you go in there.
Is it like proper down, like downtown on the ocean vibes?
Man-ish? Yeah, I couldn't even tell you what that's neighborhood right. It's in.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, you're
like on the ocean?
You're looking out to the water.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
How about this? In proximity to the Space Needle.
Oh, Jesus, I couldn't even tell
okay,
you.
Cool.
Yeah,
matter.
All I know, it was in between. We were staying at the market, and then La Marzocco's in Ballard. It was kind of in between there.
Sick.
So just somewhere, if you looked at it on a map, it's just like right on the water. You
probably would, over the hill of Queen Anne, maybe. I'm just so excited about Seattle, can you tell?
So sick. And so we go in. There's a lot of weird, interesting things about it. It's a pretty formal restaurant.
Right,
so it's
a jacket.
It's jacket required. So it's kind of on the formality level is
pretty high.
It's pretty high. It's probably
do
one of the
take your jacket or the
no, everyone was eating with jackets on.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was wondering about that too, because I got up, you know, unbuttoned. I was kind of ready because they had cool just concierge game was on fire, like the greeting at the door thing. We took Uber there, and you know, anytime a car pulls into the parking lot, they have this little carport drive through, and someone steps out, holds the door open, and another guy comes out and he's just kind of open hand, like ushering the car to where it needs to be to go get it.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool when we left too. We ate with Estelle, who you probably know, at least from the internet, and then Akash, who used to work for Curtis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He ended up driving us back, but when we were leaving, we walked outside and he was just like, okay, I'm going to let him know that I got to get the car. And he goes out the door and he's like, oh, the car's already here. He's all, how'd you do that? The guy's like, I was watching you. Which is sick.
Hell yeah.
But the peanut roaster reminded me of, so we're sitting by the window and there's a different levels to, it's kind of like the split level restaurant. And we're eating, we're about an hour into dinner. And this phone rings. And I look up and at one of the tables up there on this kind of pony wall thing in between some of the tables, there's a black analog rotary dial phone. So it just rings. It's like ring with the old school ring. And the girl who was sitting at the table, she picks it up and you can't hear because they have like an actual live guy playing the piano for dinner service.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But you're watching.
It's pretty wild. And so she picks up the phone and some words are exchanged and she's smiling and it's like 30-second interaction and she hangs up the phone. And our server, whose name was Chris, a super nice guy. I was like, what the fuck is up with the phone? Like, what's on the phone? And he's kind of dodging the question a little bit. And what we ended up finding out was, so I guess the two brothers own the restaurant and their parents started it, and the dad used to run everything from that table. So that table was table one, and he was on that phone kind of calling shots at the table. It's like, okay, guests are coming in here. Like, we need this on table three.
So like a line to the back of house?
Yeah, yeah. Just, I guess he could dial different places in the restaurant. And that was where he ran everything. So they keep the phone for history and tradition.
Yeah.
And he couldn't tell me what was on the phone. I was like, what happens? Like, what are they saying? And he's just like, I don't know.
That's wild.
And it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was super sick.
Is it a coursed menu? Like pre, not prepay, but like.
It's like a, like yeah.
A tasting menu. That's when we're going.
Yes. It's a tasting menu. It's a split. So they have three or four things that are locked in. And then there's a couple things where you could choose one or the other.
Got it.
And it was kind of, yeah, it's interesting. So Aisha's the executive chef. So it's kind of like American food with this Asian influence to it.
For sure.
And
were you still in the Burger Week thing? No, probably not. Or you would have.
No. Yeah. We had, geez, like it.
She just posted about Burger Week. That's why I'm mentioning that. And it probably was the week before you got there, and maybe completely different thing. Like,
yeah, I think it was.
Different service and all that, I'm sure.
It was rad, though. It was probably the best example of simultaneous dialed-in service that I had ever seen. So we're at a four top, but when the...
ratcheted up a notch.
When the servers are coming to the table and laying out things and presenting them all simultaneously, they had it. It was perfect. So it's like the four open arms reach around. Yep. There's this little orb. The top comes off the orb. Everything was in just this perfect sync. It was incredible. That was the most incredible part of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole thing was great. It was like on the level of those other restaurants that we've been to. And really, really wild stemware for the cocktails.
Okay.
Just insane. And
yeah,
then they
you
had
like that stuff for sure.
Oh, the bar was sick. So the bar's small, and you walk kind of down a few stairs to the bar, and there's this big huge staircase behind the bar, and the bar is really tiny, and bartender's doing his prep work making drinks, and then all of a sudden the stairs open up and there's like a Harry Potter door that has the back of house prep station for the bar. So if you're tending bar, you can just disappear behind the stairs.
Nice.
Do whatever dirty work you need to do and come out.
Hell yeah.
And it's just, it's a little magic door.
What was your favorite like food thing
dude,
on the night?
I'll show you a picture and everybody else, sorry.
You don't get one,
you're screwed.
We'll give you a verbal visual. You know what I'm saying?
And the hard part for me with this one was that we were having such good conversation and the food was so interesting that I couldn't even remember all of it.
Yeah. You were just in.
We had
which
this
is great.
I would have to look at the menu. There's this little bowl. I don't know where my phone is.
It's all good.
It's gone. There's this little tiny bowl with this, it's got this whipped
is it called flavor?
It's
whipped
like
flavor.
A partially whipped, partially foamy, really creamy. God, I don't even know what it was. And it had a little bit of caviar on top.
Cool.
And then there was some meat tucked in underneath it. But
like a meat
again,
pillow.
This doesn't make any sense. I'll have to look and see what it is. But it was one of the most amazing textures that I've ever had, ever. Mm. Like I like scooped into it. It's almost like if you took...
It was like a custard almost?
Not quite. It's like if you steamed milk for a cappuccino and it's just the foamy part,
sure,
but found some way to make it more dense so that it would hold more structure. So it was as light as that, but somehow you could spoon it and it wouldn't just fall apart.
Totally.
You could keep it. So you could get like a little bit of that, whatever it was, a little bit of caviar and a little bit of the...
Meaty
underneath, and again,
meaty
undercarriage. It doesn't even make sense because I don't even know what the
doesn't
fuck
matter.
I don't even know
you
what the fuck
it
was.
Good?
But it was pretty much everybody's favorite.
Rad
coursed out for
doesn't matter, dude.
For
see,
the
that's
night.
The whole point. You
yeah,
don't have to
I remember,
remember
it.
It is. You
exactly.
remember that it was good.
I remember what it looked like. I remember exactly what it tastes like. I don't even know what it is.
Right. I mean, that's kind of
even,
the fun of some
I don't
of those
even
places,
care.
Right?
I was,
yeah.
They told me, and I was just okay. Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. I was like, damn, that's insane. Right. Like insane. And that's kind of how the whole experience was, because just the conversation was so good that the food just added to the food cranked it up and the drinks cranked it up and our server cranked it up. But really it kind of got me into that. Okay. I am here partially for the food, but what the food's doing is just making the experience that I'm having with my friends way better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're getting into all things, these talking points over and over again.
Exactly.
And perspectives from different mouths.
Yeah.
All over totally.
It was super cool. Mm-hmm. And then it was just coffee stories.
Of course.
Out the...
Oh, well, yeah, because Akasha's been there forever. And I don't really know Estelle.
Estelle's
same,
really cool. So
right?
I kind of met her once or twice, but knew who she was, but didn't know anything about her. But... she's about our age, so she knows all of the same references that we do.
Perfect.
People who are from back in the day that other people are like, what? Who's that? And all these weird old school stories. And it was really cool to talk to someone who'd been in the game for that long. Because a lot of people, even
you
if they've been in the game for 10 years or whatever, they're still newer.
Yeah, there's still another 10, basically.
Yeah, there's a whole another decade that happened. So,
dude.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I had a full circle connection that is not as cool, but it was interesting. I needed to get some snacks with the girls yesterday, and we went to AJ's Market, which is, for people who don't know, it's a gas station that also has like a deli meat counter, and they make yummy stuff. But in there, I was like looking at drinks, and Ritual released a canned coffee.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got one of theirs, and it's like an oat milk latte.
Okay.
No sugar, right? Just coffee, the stabilizers that have to be in there, oat milk. And it was for sure the best tasting RTD drink that I have had for sure.
Awesome.
And it was just, it was branded cool. And I was stoked for them because, you know, that's like a jump off point for you. And also just in general, especially coffee at the time. If you go way back in California, didn't really have much. And that was one of the ones. So,
yeah,
it was pretty cool to jump on that and have a little afternoon pick me up. Felt good. I was stoked for them.
I was messaging with Eileen, the owner, for those who don't know, because she'd posted something on the little clip I put up of Kent Bakke's Espresso Museum, the dungeon underneath
so
it.
Sick.
And she was like, that's awesome. And I said, if you ever want to sell me the old FB70, let me know.
Yeah.
Because like, I'll buy that thing, do some mods to it, make it. And she's like, hell no.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that thing.
All the real heads are like, no, like, we're keeping all that soul.
I was like, come on, I'm going to keep bugging her about it. I'm gonna get that thing.
Mm,
I'm going to make that thing my own.
So we should.
Eileen, you know, it's just sitting in a garage somewhere. You don't even use La Marzocco, dude.
You don't even go here, dude.
You don't even go here.
Tell me
more.
I'm just
going to shame her into selling me the espresso machine. Shame works, right, as a motivational tactic?
It really can.
If you can make people feel bad enough, they'll be super healthy.
Super healthy.
Yeah, we know.
I've got none of it.
You're a worthless piece of shit.
I've got none. Exactly. Bad cop?
I had to go even harder.
I don't know. It's how it goes.
Sell me this thing.
Sell me it. Well, I'm glad you had a good trip. My trip got me a little bit pumped up as well, but mostly just, it made me feel proud of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It made it feel like we're able to help. That was cool. And there were some good conversations that were, it's easy to not realize the perspective that you have matters when we're here, because we're just talking to each other and we're just like trying to do our best.
Yeah.
And then you go other places and it's when it feels really helpful when you're having those conversations and there's eye-opening moments. You're like, oh, great. I feel validated. This is nice.
Yeah.
So I was cool. It also made me be like, okay, I want to, there's like personal expression that I have yet to figure out still.
Same, dude. It's same. I kind of felt the same way. That outside perspective was cool because on our trip, it was immediately... I mean, La Marzocco does such a great job with hospitality.
They're one of the best for real, yeah.
And then
always have been.
Beyond that, it was just some really good people who were saying nothing but nice things about the things that we create and how helpful they are and how useful they are.
Right.
And I was just very inspired to share more, to do more, to put more of that out there and not be so self-conscious about what I'm putting out there.
Oh, man, I'm with you on that one.
It's cool to see the organization that we've created be inspirational to others. And I don't know. I've been having a lot of mental blocks lately, but this was a pretty big trip for me in terms of inspiration.
The trips have always been helpful, I think, for both of us. in terms, like, it's like we're inspired here, but when you're kind of doing the work consistently, you don't get your own version of an outside perspective, because really all we're doing when we leave is getting a perspective on our own. It's not true. We're getting perspective of other people too, but like, you get to kind of review your work without looking at all the details, right? And like poking yourself for how it's not going as perfect as you like.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a little bit of just fresh perspective. And for me, that's been helpful. That's not all of it. I mean, I think traveling also just gives you space, and space is key. Like sometimes literally just not being here is enough.
That's fun too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's fun, but it's fun in a way where some of those blocks for me go away when I'm not here.
Same. Yeah. I don't know what that is. It's weird. Yeah, what is that?
I think for me, it's that it's the feeling of, if I'm in this town, and I think this is just brain programming, but what I do in this town, a lot of it revolves around responsibility, trying my best to be buttoned up, handle the things that need to be handled, whether that's, you know, business owning, dadding, trying to make sure a house is clean, grocery shopping. Like those things are just like programmed into the equation. And then the other things that are like kind of fun are like basketball and exercise, but they also, you know, in a roundabout way, support me doing a good job at those other things. So there's not a lot of space built into this town for me. And this is, again, this is some opportunity to do some work, but that's just, it's hard to not think about one of those many subjects in some capacity. And when those subjects creep in, the way I think, feel, operate, live my life is different than when I leave town and I can't do most of, if any of that stuff, via, aside from like be on the phone a little bit and email, right? Yeah. Like none of it's here. Can't clean my house, can't go grocery shopping, can't think about filling up the car with gas, can't whatever it is. So then my brain switches off in a way. And yeah, maybe I have to plan a little bit because I'm on a trip, but I don't have to think the same. And with that just comes all this space and freedom.
Yeah. And it's like the challenge is, how do you tap into that here?
Yeah.
How do you, because I feel the same, like a different version of the same thing, mm-hmm. where I just feel, for some reason, when I'm out of town, I feel more free of judgment
mm-hmm.
from self same. And others.
Totally.
And I know
I can't perform out there.
99% of that is self-imposed, or I doubt anyone is judging me, you know, at any given time throughout the day.
Not as hard as you are, that's for sure.
That's for sure. But for some reason, there's something, and it's been like that for a long time. You know, Ryan Brown, even back at Ritual, like you're talking about, he used to make fun of me. He's like, oh, like, where's Vacation Baca? Like, how do we get more of that guy?
Yeah.
Like,
take me out of town, dude.
Yeah, where'd that guy go?
Dude,
he came back home and you're just lame.
Super serious. I'm actively thinking the same thing. Be less serious all the time.
So it's just, okay, get energized, get out of your own way. I think a lot of it's just getting out of my own way and the
for
expectations
sure.
that I think other people have of me.
Double think, for sure.
I think that's a lot of it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because that for me, I think I need new tools, new mindset, or evolved versions of those things. Because, you know, what I would do and do as well is typically after I do some great exercise or something like that, right? You kind of have all the endorphins released, but you also kind of feel settled. And then same thing with work. Like if I can get up and bang out work, then there's kind of an ability to settle into like not feeling like you, for me, need to do something as much. That doesn't really go away, but there is, those have kind of been my coping tools to, you know, get me to that other place is, you know, do something. And I don't think that's necessarily even true or healthy as well. There's obviously the science of being able to release dopamine and endorphins. Like that is helpful. But that's not the same, you know, that's a learned situation that helps you get there. It's not necessarily, I think, to your point and what you're saying, like the overall most healthy way of getting to those places. It's healthy, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a settled, like, I can be this way and it's going to come and go and I'm okay no matter what. It's almost like forcing the issue, like, I got to get something done. So I'm going to go make sure that I do all these things
right,
so that I can
get shit
done. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird, man.
I don't know what that is either, but hey, we've named it. We've claimed it. And now we can step into our power.
I mean, what is your... Jeez, I don't even know what I want to ask. There's so many different things swimming around. There's so many different things swimming around in my head because I came home and I was just so like jacked up and I thought I was anxious for a second. And Jenny said, I think you're actually really inspired and I think you have a lot of energy that you could tap into mm-hmm. and you're not sure where to put it. And I said, that sounds about right.
Good insight.
And I still don't know exactly what to do with that.
Well, okay, so here's a little perspective my therapist literally gave me on, I don't know, or whatever, this week, we'll call it. Like within the last week. And we were talking kind of about that situation as a whole, but more in my life. Like what I live in this place where, for maybe like to backtrack, everybody's got internal critics and there's a lot of different voices and the inner critic is pretty gnarly and can like come at you from both angles. So, you know, one of the things that I'll do is I'll live on both sides of an argument and then kind of be paralyzed with like, what's the best move? Because I can argue both ways. And then that will juxtapose with just being like recognizing who I am. And basically I'm talking through all that, right? And kind of being back and forth. So let me just like, reflect back to you what I know about you and then let's just like affirm some stuff. He's all, one, that inner critic needs, you got to keep, you know, there's some tools for that, which we don't need to do the therapy stuff. He's all, let's work on like shutting that down, you know, whether that's I don't believe you or literally you have to say shut the fuck up. There's a whole thing about that. Like you have to get good at practicing that. And he's all, and then let me just like honor who you are. He's all, you have, he's all, for lack of a better term, like a Ferrari engine, meaning like you need to perform, you need to do something performative in your body, expressive with your work, with life every day. And if you're not doing that, like you're probably not giving yourself and the world what you have to offer. And he's all, you live on the sensitive side of the spectrum in terms of like the ability to like feel and see things and share things. But at the same time, like you physically like need to be in that place doing those things. So that's kind of your homework is to start looking at what is that in the context of, yeah, you have this job now where you're supposed to facilitate everybody else doing that. So where that doesn't mean that you're not able to do that still. It means that you need to figure out what those kind of things are for you and start, yeah, and start doing them.
Your version for you, yeah, in addition to being able to help people, yeah, do that for them. Mm-hmm. Because if we're really good at doing that for them, helping other people do that for themselves, we have a lot of bandwidth. I think I have some guilt associated with peeling back and doing, like kind of exploring this space that we've created by setting up the company so that it does what it needs to do.
Which is weird.
It feels weird to me. Yeah, it really does. But it's incredible because this is kind of the dream in some sense, to where it's like, okay, I'm in Seattle.
Yeah.
You're in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. Everything's working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Orders are going out. People are getting beverages.
Right.
You know, wholesale stuff's getting shipped, even though Mark's not there either. And it's like, this is ideal.
Right.
You know, and there's some piece of us that still is, you know, is pushing the train, driving the train in a general direction,
absolutely,
setting higher level goals, like helping people accomplish those goals or making them feel like they can accomplish them for themselves. And that creates space. And I think what I'm having a hard time with is tapping in and being like, yeah, I can do something with that space. And
right.
And
what is it?
Instead of just sitting with it and be like, yeah, I'm at work, so it's at work.
I'm waiting for somebody to ask for my help.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just and
I'm really ready to help, but I totally, dude.
And I think some of that is, again, these are all just stories, but everyone's had a mixed bag of bosses and everyone hears what it feels like to be on the front line. And part of going to work is people talk, especially in less healthy cultures. People talk like, what the fuck does the boss even do? What the da 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 da. And that kind of creeps into my head, even though no one's really ever said that to me.
Mm.
Ever?
Yeah, for sure. That creeps in.
I don't know. I just have a... And part of it is I think part of it for me is honestly feeling lost sometimes, or making myself feel lost in a company of this size, where there's a lot of different places people do work. We activate in a lot of different areas, and sometimes it's easy to not feel intimately connected to each and every one.
Yeah, the complexity and the size in that way makes resonate with me, right? Like that, because there's the roasting part, there's the literal preparation. Yeah, totally. And the retail, the all the video, whatever.
Yeah, and
you can play in a lot of places.
You can play in a lot of places, and then there's a lot of places within those spaces that I'm really passionate about, and my passion doesn't necessarily fit into the day-to-day on any given day for any one of them.
Right.
You know?
Yet we played and love this industry and this thing that we do. That's kind of like where I'm like coming to terms with, what does that look like? You know, like there's something... there's something for both of us. Well, here's the thing. Like, we're both in some capacity and differently performers. We're both expressive. We're both wanting to show people things. And they're all, you're right. Like, the way to sum it up is it's all of it in some capacity, right? It's literally every single thing in our company we care about in some varying level. Which doesn't mean you have to like as much, you know, whatever. Something that I like as much or vice versa.
Sure.
But like, every single thing we have some form of passion about, almost literally, and that's why we ended up getting a company. So then it's like, we used to be able to spend time expressing ourselves in whichever one of those places we wanted to, partially because we were having to, and now, because we don't, it is odd, to the point at the beginning, you don't want to get in the way, yet there is more for us to do, and in a good way, not necessarily in like a calling ourselves like there's more to do work-wise, there's always that.
Well, it's just,
Totally. Like a little bit inspired. We're ready to be inspired. We're ready to do something.
I think there's something to this idea of there's so much value in us just sharing our passions in whatever shape and form they come.
Yeah.
Just putting them out into the world internally, externally, and letting them be infectious.
Like whatever they are.
And letting them, letting people scoop them up or not and use them to drive that energy. Because if I'm looking back on all the things we've done that have been really successful, it's all based around that idea where it's whatever it is, you know, whether it's coffee or service or hospitality or workplace culture, it's all just, here's something that I'm really energized.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take you on the journey with me.
Right.
Like, let's peek behind you. Here are my thoughts. Here are things. And it's easy. I think why out of town is so nice, because like you said, you get some of that validation. It's easy to feel like you're just fucking throwing shit out into the void and getting discouraged. And you're like, yeah, cool. Does anybody care? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really can't tell if anybody cares. And then you go somewhere and all of a sudden you get all this feedback. Where it's, you know, you're working with someone face to face, literally seeing how the things that you're doing are able to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just incredibly rewarding. It's so easy to ignore here, you know, even though there's evidence of it here too, but it's just.
You don't get to have the same kind of combos though, right? Like we're never going to, and by never is an absolute. So most of the time we will not receive the kind of Q&A back and forth conversation and dialogue from anybody who works with us because we're the owners.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a little bit of what's helpful when you go out of town is there is no pressure for whoever you're connecting with, unless it's on them and it's imposed or whatever. There's like nerves, but to not get into these conversations and ask questions and like feel like maybe their boss is going to hear something from them that they don't like, or maybe they're, you know, whatever it is. I don't need to put whatever people might be thinking, but there's a level of, hey, we can kind of just be friends and colleagues that I can't get at our company. And can't is the wrong, it's maybe slightly true, but you can't get it the same way from people that I super enjoy seeing. Like I go into all our cafes and I'm like, man, I wish we could just sit and talk, but they're also not your friends, even though you could be friendly with them. You can't get, you know what I'm saying? Like there is that barrier.
Yeah.
And it's a professional barrier, so it's relatively fair to expect and have. But it is something that I definitely miss, and it is a challenge, and more of a challenge. It's challenging the way, actually, to be real. Like, it's a challenge when you're large, but it's a super big challenge when you're small, because I can look back and experience people that I was unable to, or I would blur the lines between professional and friendship and relational because of the smallness and being around each other all the time, which is normal. You work together, that kind of gets that way a lot of the time when you're,
yeah.
But as an owner leader, you end up needing to start creating those professional boundaries. And with every single professional boundary that you set comes a slight deviation in the ability to just be friends and like fully openly share friendship, be conversation. And there's a place for all of this to still work and live and like have really great openness and intimacy, but it is far, I think, far more challenging for people to do it with the owners than it is for them to do it with peers.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've been thinking about, because Jorge said something to me that really stuck out to me last week, to where for me, I've never had a hard time setting a boundary between myself and employees. So where I rarely feel pressured or slip into sharing things that might be more personal or things that might be sharing the friendship thing. But I do find myself acting maybe a little bit differently than I would like to people just because I'm the owner and just because they're my employee. Mm-hmm. And I went in and sat down at the bar and Jorge, he's like, "You're not working right now." I'm like, "No." He's like, "Yeah, I could tell." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Oh, I see you come into work and you got a certain energy about you. And then you come back after you're, you know," he's throwing quotes out there,
"yeah,
done with work." Yeah. And it's just like a, you know, it's like a lighter, different energy. And I was just,
"You're all fuck."
Huh. Yeah. I was stoked that he's observing right. at that level.
Badass.
That's amazing. Yeah. And then I was partially
that's
crushed because I feel that internally too. Huh. And I think what I would like to figure out is how can I channel that light, fun energy when I'm in boss mode? Because I don't think there's a negative to having that energy. I think there's only upside to having that energy as long as you can maintain all the other official boundaries have. There's no reason for me to come in and be, you know, like stuffy and stiff and I'm a business owner or like I'm the freaking manager. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't like that. I hate that. So
that was shit.
Yeah, that has been living in my head for a week. I'm like, Jorge notices, somebody else is noticing, I notice.
But the thing is, it's fucked up. That makes me laugh about that, and it's so resonating, is like, that side of us is the side that's like, very much helped us with our success the entire time.
Yeah, the lighter,
like the professional,
funner.
We've gotten more professional. But our ability to execute professionally has always been here. In some capacity, yes, we've improved because of tenure and life and experience, but like that's always been on the table. Competing, getting better, pursuit of excellence. The other magic eight ball shaker was that we were like fun, wild cardy, expressive, that, and still are, but to your point,
maybe less so.
I'm fucking way less
so.
To
our detriment. And then Then another thing I think about is this can only be good if we lean more into that, because let's just say you want to buy some shit.
Say you want to have a fun time.
Who's the last person you want to buy something from?
Not a serious person.
A salesman. You don't want to buy anything from a salesman. You know, the best salesmen are people who are just really passionate about what they do, not the guy that's like, "Hello, sir, I'd like to offer you an opportunity." And for some reason, you get in this leadership position or you go into this business ownership position.
I better button up.
Things become just a little bit more formal. Because of, you know, it's literally just expectations
bullshit
that you're kind of placing on yourself, you know, because nobody came and talked to me and said, "Hey, bro, you better button it up." No one's ever said that to me. You know what I mean? No one's ever said, "Bro, you're getting kind of loose over here. You better fucking ship that shit up." It's just me. It's me and what I think people want from me or what I think I need to be because I'm in this position. And that is not good. It's not helping anybody. So we got to lean into the thing that makes you, you, the thing that makes me, me, and that's the best for everyone around us and ourselves.
And we could be ourselves. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Hit the button.
Hey, everyone. That's the podcast for the week. Thanks so much for listening. If you heard something that inspired you, let us know or tell a friend. These are the types of connections that are the most important to us and that we seek to create every day. If there's something you heard and you want to know more about, send us an email to podcast@catandcloud.com or head to our website, catandcloud.com/podcast, and let us know. While you're on our site, check out everything we have to offer. Dive deep into one of our single origin coffees or pick up a little treat for yourself. We have something for everyone, so check it out. Also, find us in the usual places, YouTube, Instagram. We're always there sharing amazing things. All right, that's it. Thanks everyone for being awesome. We'll be back next week.